16. The purpose of the resolution is self-explanatory, Mr. Chairman. It's a resolution asking that the administration not go forward with the scenario that they had in the proposed lease purchase agreement for the Anchorage office space. And I don't know, and I don't think that anybody else knows in the legislative process just exactly how many more of those type of lease purchase agreements or arrangements are either in process or going to be put into process. It would seem to me that we would be in a lot better shape if we were to have the legislature, first of all, take a look at how they were going to fund the lease purchase, and that it ought to, that we ought to have a legislative review before they were put into position and before they were committed, because the general public out there, when they're dealing with the state, they figure that the full force and integrity of the state is behind the lease. And when you find that everybody says, well, you constitutionally can only commit to a two-year period because one legislative body cannot commit to the next, but it seemed to me that we're fooling somebody out there. Particularly when we get to these new certificates that they've manufactured, which in my estimation is a backdoor bonding program, it's totally unconstitutional. And for that reason, why I introduced confirmed resolution number 16, Senator Sackett from the Yukon River area, the co-chairman of the Finance Committee, picked up on this process and had hearings in the Senate Finance Committee. And since that time, why the governor has come out and said, well, if it's at the will of the legislature, that he will not proceed with this particular project unless directed by the legislature. I would certainly urge the senators to give due consideration to the current resolution.
Questions for Senator Coghill?
Senator Coghill, on the issue, has there been a couple of bills that have been introduced since you did the resolution, and how do you feel that the bills fit into the resolution?
Well, I think that it gives us now the window to debate the issue as far as these certificates of participation are concerned in a new form of financing. I have asked, as far as the bills are concerned, they haven't come before a committee that I've had any. I have not read them. I don't read those until they come before us.
Yeah, I don't know.
I might mention that I've also sent a letter to Mr. Chairman, to the Legislative Audit Committee, asking them to give us a list of all of the lease purchase arrangements that we have in the state. And I today have not received that letter, Senator Ray.
Going down through it, talking about saving money here in one place, that's the addition of this much space and going on space will have a negative effect. I don't know about that. I don't think that's proper. I think what you're trying to do is to get all the state agencies in one area to pay for a building so that you won't have to pay it. So money saving here, like the SOB is for here. The SOB is going to be paid off in October. 15 years, it's done. You don't pay nothing anymore. So I think that you're, what it is, Senator, is I think that you're saying this is exactly backwards of what happens. Also, the governor has put in a bill saying right now that he wants statutory approval. In other words, he must have statutory approval before he can do anything like this. That's one of the bills that he put in. And I think your last resolve is going too far to stop all of the authorized capital projects, because there's a lot of them that have been approved. A lot of them should be going forward. I think you're, when you say all authorized capital projects with exceptions, so and so, you're going too far.
Well, Senator Ray, I think that sometimes you have to really hit the mule hard between the ears with a 2x4 in order to get his attention. The thing is that the legislature needed to get the attention of somebody. And I think that this resolution was the only means that was on hand at the time. I think since that time, we've had the overview of the Senate Finance Committee. But I would still like to see this resolution go forward, even if you have to amend it now to meet those other means, to give a loud voice from the legislative process that the administrative branch of government has got to adhere to a certain amount of rules. I hear so often in our legislative process, well, we're violating the separation of powers, that it seems to me that on the upper side, the administrative side, that they can then run us anytime they so desire. I think that the last four or five words of the paragraph pretty well spell it out, that you have pending legislative investigation and review. And what I did when I introduced this resolution, I also sent the letter to Senator Tertullo about a budget and audit, and it would seem to me that that project is underway, that it had legislative sanction. Thing is that this project and the one that's in Fairbanks does not have legislative sanction, and I think that we as legislators ought to know what's going on. And I agree with the chairman that it's a tremendously good weapon, and if you've got to have a concurrent resolution, where does it go from here? It goes to finance from this committee, and it goes from there to the rules and to the, so you know, the 20th day today, if we're going to do anything, we should move it. If the senators feel that the effect of this resolution has had its sting, then you know, I'm happy to keep it in here rather than to lose it. Because then, if you lose it, why, you might send signals upstairs that it's a rejection of the thought.
Thank you. Senator Coghill, do you have any desires on this? Would you have any objection? We have a listen to me.
Just hold it.
The bill is held. Thank you, Senator. June that includes the fourth Saturday as Amateur Radio Week.
I'd like to amend that, sir.
There is an amendment proposed.
Proposed after as Amateur Radio Week, and all members of the legislature must stand up and give the Pledge of Allegiance when playing the radio.
Senator Kelly.
I was in the sponsor subject to Senate Bill number 262.
Is there objections? Hearing none, supported.
Probably one of the most important bills in this session.
All those little kids' letters are getting to you, right?
Oh, some of them get real mean. Says, what are we going to say if we don't say that? Say that. I said, we might start out with honor my father and mother.
You're
going to
get a letter from my
secretary.
His school's
what
writing letters.
What did I answer him? Let me see what answer him.
The next bill we'll take up is... Oh, I'm sorry. Did anyone want to testify on that Radio Week? Okay. The next one is we'll take the Senate Bill 266, an act placing certificated teachers, whatever it is, employed by the Department of Education schools operating part of the exempt service complaint with effective date now. I believe this was heard last Thursday, correct?
Yes, sir, it was. Yes. Discussion. There was a number of questions. There was a policy question regarding whether they should be in exempt service or not. And there was official information, which I think we would pass in their parents, that was requested. And there was also a committee substitute prepared to just tie it strictly to my entrance school. That's
Chairman,
what we're
doing.
Mr.
Chairman, I'm not carrying the bill, but I didn't come to convince the city here last week.
Steve Poe last week, and I've come to the same conclusion as Senator Kelly. At the same time, Steve told me that they will be looking at the whole issue of the other laws applicable to teachers and how these teachers in the exempt service relate to those and so on, and that he says they would be ready to report back next session based on that. I'm certainly willing to support this bill.
Okay, have we adopted committee substitute?
Satisfied.
Mr. Chairman, I will move the committee substitute for Senate Bill 266.
It's been moved that we accept the committee. We have some order, please. It's been moved that we accept the committee substitute for Senate Bill 266. Are there any objections to the adoption of it? Hearing none, so ordered. Pleasure of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill number 266 State Affairs.
Objections? Hearing none, supported.
We're going too fast, Mr. Chairman. There are only 10 minutes to 9. It's going to be 2 hours more before session, so we have to slow down a little bit. Can we get into some kind of a controversy?
We probably will. We'll
spin out of time.
The next one and Dandy. Spend a little time on this one. Committee substitute, I don't know whether we accept the committee that. Bill before us now is committee substitute for House Bill 50, an act relating to the last condition of preference.
It's a House Bill substitute.
House Bill. Senator May, you went last Tuesday, you referred to the committee's amendments and so on.
You're looking at them there, Mr. Chairman. Committee substitute for House Bill number 50. Your dealing will be back to Section 5. To read, and these are the things that we've talked about. I have the Attorney General's office, I have the general contractors, I have the Speaker Grusendorf's office, legislative affairs, I have them all in there, and I'll talk it over based on what the committee seemed to
Lisa, did you have any comments?
We're going to say it's good, so we better say it's good.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, I'm Risa King with the Alaska Chapter of Associated General Contractors. Yes, in fact, I was a party to the meetings in Senator Ray's office, which I found most interesting. did send the proposed amendments up to our Anchorage office, and our attorney reviewed it, and the most onerous section we found was amendment number one and the section B, the 20% and $1 million. He's of the opinion that can really delay awarding a contract. If somebody decides to protest, what are you going to do, go audit somebody's books and say it's an international company or a company based out of state? You're going to audit the books down south, audit the books up here. Has the potential of really delaying the project, and that was one he was most concerned about. Our suggestion to staff had been that put a cap on it for all construction projects of $500,000 or something of that nature, so it would help out a small company, that sort of thing, but it would get us out of the susceptibility of large major projects. Highway projects, it wouldn't apply because DOT has federal dollars, so it wouldn't apply to those, but major buildings and things like that, we're quite concerned about. And time is money, costs the state more to build something if the project is delayed. And I think we're all aware of our monetary situation at the present time.
Senator.
Well, I think that with due respect to your attorney who works for you, it isn't the idea of proving that they don't do that much. It's the people who get the contract and just showing that they do that much. And that's very easy for them to show. If you get the contract, it's very easy for you to show.
Are we talking about, let me see if I understand, giving a 10% bidder preference to major projects at one point? If something were to come in at $20 million, it would be an automatic 10% bidder preference? Or 2%, $2 million bidder preference?
We also have another proposed amendment, number 2, which is a division of section penalty to Alaska that do not apply to contracts estimated to exceed $500,000 for private transportation costs. So that's another.
Yes, sir.
That'll be the next amendment that's coming up.
It applies, but it would apply to schools or Alaska Power Authority. How it works, Senator Kelly, there is something.
Are you saying this amendment will apply to schools and Alaska Power Authority?
No, that just deals with the Department of Transportation and the Department of Justice.
Let's deal with it.
But the whole bill would deal with schools. Even schools that municipalities would bill? Is that? That's up to municipalities whether they want to give a bidder's preference or not. Is it tied to the fact that that's state money?
This is just the state projects that don't have money. Mr. Chairman.
This preference really would apply if it's, let's say, one Alaska company versus one one company that does not qualify. But let's say Mount Edgecombe comes out. I'm sure that there's more than one Alaska or more than one national company that could qualify under the provisions proposed by Senator Ray, and I'm sure there'd be plenty of competition, and we'd never get to the 10% bid award benefit. So I think this would apply in very few cases, and where it does, it should apply. Right now, bids have been coming in under estimates in many cases. The latest one was down at Boulevard.
We also had a short discussion regarding B, changing the word of annual sales to an annual activity, or is some other word. Did we include that at all?
Mr. Chair, I believe Senator Ray said business.
Business.
Business. That takes away from the same.
Mm-hmm.
All I did, Mr. Chairman, was follow what I thought was the directives of the committee and got these people together, and this is it. Parlance of the speech, take it or leave it.
Sir, Mr. Chairman, I would move the committee adopt amendment number one.
There is an amendment proposed to adopt amendment number one.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Objection?
I would object and adopt the committee substitute first amendment.
I thought we adopted
the committee substitute.
Not yet.
Let's back off that for a second and go to the original tale. We have in front of us committee substitute for House Bill 55.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. And I'm proposing amendment number one to CS for House Bill number 55.
Senate committee substitute for committee substitute?
No, Mr. Chairman. I'm proposing amendment number one to CS for House Bill number 50.
Any objections?
Yeah.
Here's an objection, Senator.
I think you're going to get it better if you make it a
Mr. Chairman, I assume that after we adopt the amendments, we will have the Senate committee substitute. We shouldn't miss.
Right.
After
ration,
we first adopt the amendments
and then go to the amendment to the Senate committee substitute.
But, Mr. Chairman, we don't have a Senate committee substitute.
You're going to have one.
Right. Eventually, we will.
Damn that amendment.
I ask you that. Consent for amendment number one.
It's been moved for a Senate committee substitute for House Bill number. Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill number 50.
The amendment. Now I will object. I don't see a Senate committee substitute. All we have is a House passed bill called CS.
Mr. Chairman,
and this is.
We have objection to amendment number one
from the sponsor. I think we've successfully gone past 9 o'clock. Let us, Mr. Chairman, adopt amendment number one as unanimous consent.
Well, there is an objection. Is the objection maintained to adoption number one?
No.
All in favor of adopting amendment number one, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Amendment number one has been adopted.
We got amendment number two in front.
Now we have amendment number two.
Well, Mr. Chairman, let's get on the board. I have to move to adopt amendment number two.
Okay, now let's discuss it.
There's an objection, I presume.
Yeah.
Senator Ray.
Okay, what this does is put a cap on the not-puff deals. We don't have a cap on anything else.
The Senator agrees.
What is AS-3515 and AS-1810? What facilities do they I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Those are the statutes under which Dr. Fish is contract.
Both of those statutes, okay. So it's all DOTPA,
right.
The whole thing.
Right.
Okay.
I would think that that's the policy call. We do want a cap. And if you're on oil, we should probably have a cap across the board. Not just the APA.
percent of a $5 billion specific project that would be funded.
Well, does anyone wish to make an amendment to number two? Expand it from the Department of Transportation Public Facilities.
The only thing that you have is, of course, you have the idea of breaking it down into the contract with this contract and that contract with that, and that kind of is the aggregate of the whole thing. $5 million, you got 1,500 proto contracts, and that's the thing. I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, I have a suggestion. Let's adopt Section 4 and then deal with this section. Have a Section 5 that deals with non-DOT projects and previous.
This is Section 5, we have not there any. They offer that.
All right, I'll
six. Six.
This one is. This one is six.
Six.
No, no, this is seven.
Okay, we have three, four.
Number seven.
Yes, number seven.
We have three in the bill.
Mary has six.
Section 5 of this bill, right? It would be number seven under
Section 5.
230.
We have a
right.
Six in place.
No, no, Mr. Chairman.
Seven would be this one, as well, remaining
yeah.
Seven.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I'm talking about Section 5 of the bill. The amendment 2 creates a new Section 5 in the House Bill 50.
That's this one that you just adopted over here. All this stuff.
That's fine. Section 4.
This is 5.
Four in the bill,
no,
and five
in
the law.
We repealed and reenacted, right? So what's going on?
Okay, this is Section 4 of the bill.
Okay,
Section
5
in
the
law.
Okay. You know what?
So it should be Section
that
5.
That isn't the whole bill, Victor.
This is not the bill.
That's not the whole existing law.
I'm talking to Section
Section 7 on amendment
section
number 2.
Then there's another
the
Section
bill.
4.
On enough.
Already in place. This is Section 5.
Senator Ray.
Senator
Ray. This section 4 under 7
just
to $500,000 rather than $5,000 as they have in law under Section 7.
All right.
Section
right.
5.
Section 4, section 4 subsection 7.
Yeah.
Section
4. 4, subsection 5.
Subsection 5.
That's subsection 5.
But section
we
have
section
4
of
the bill.
Subsection
the bill.
5.
Right.
All right.
This
section
is Section 5
of
the bill.
This is Section 5 of the bill. And subsection 7.
Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, and
I'm sorry, I was talking subsections because that added my hand there.
Mr. Chairman, my suggestion would be that we adopt Amendment Number 2, putting Section 5 into House Bill 50, which creates a new subsection 7, and so on, and then craft a new Section 6, which would apply to APA and other state construction projects.
Do we have an attorney in the crowd to tell us that to come up here and tell us where we are? Everybody's pointing at you, so I'd like to have your opinion. Name, for the
Mr. Chairman, my name is John Rubini. I'm with the Department of Law. And perhaps I can help. I'm a little lost myself.
Do you understand what we're trying to do?
Yes, I do. And if this committee's pleasure is to limit it to construction activities, there are a number of ways to go, and among them Senator Fisher's suggestion. If the committee's pleasure is to expand the exemption broader,
expand it to other agencies.
By that, Mr. Chairman, do you want to reach contracts that don't involve construction activity, any state contract in excess of fine amount, or is it the committee's pleasure to restrict it to construction-related contracts?
I would think, Mr. Chairman, that extension like printing awards should be certainly repeated on your last bit of records.
How far do we want to go? I don't know whether we can take and separate certain ones out.
Well, it is under it now, I understand.
That's correct. Under present law, the exemption applies, I believe, to the $5,000 level to principally construction activities, DOT and highways.
Senator Reese.
Sir, if we took, do you have this amendment number 2 before you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. if we took that and just said the provisions of this section relative to an Alaska bidder do not apply to contracts estimated to exceed $500,000, period, and drop the rest, what would that do to us?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
You would still still want to include the sentence about notwithstanding the subsection to be able to adopt back the flexibility that it needs in dealing with federal, receiving federal funds and commingling with federal funds. Otherwise, I think it covers all the bases that you're talking about.
It would cover all of the bases then of all of the other projects, and it would still cover under 500,000 of printing, which would send up for Kelly's Top Shelf and things like that. Is that right?
Should we put something there to say that all we have is Alaska because of my speaking English?
There you go. Subsection, etc., with that cover what we wish to do.
Yes, it would.
And yet, at the same token, you go down a preference may be waived by the Commissioner of Transportation in case of competitive bids. How does that fit in with it? Should we not put that in there for all commissioners or take that out?
Mr. Chairman, it's my
understanding. Come on up and join us. You can't really talk. Somebody else like to come up here? Let's get on this thing.
Mr. Chairman,
would you like to join us at the table?
When you talk about contracts estimated, when they say contracts estimated to exceed $500,000, are we talking about prime contract, or are we talking about subcontracts? What are we talking about? In other words, you could have 10 subcontracts that don't exceed $500,000 of an aggregate that exceed contract would exceed $5 million. See what I'm saying, John?
I do, Senator.
Let's not let this guy sneak in the back door.
The state only has one contract. The state contracts with I think in the case that you're discussing, the state contracts with a prime contractor. They may have subcontracts. The bidder's preference would only apply to the contract between the state and the prime contractor, as everything is written now.
Okay. Right. In other words, the state asks for a bids on a contract building anything, and then they come in with a single source contract, so to speak, and then they go ahead and sell it. Is that right?
That's right. Right.
They have a single source guy that bids, and he bids for the aggregate contract rather than individual.
If it were broken out, if the state acted as the prime contractor, then it would apply to other subcontractors. There's only the contracts between the state and the contractor.
Does the state ever do that? Contract. $5 million job like the Ketchikan ferry terminal?
I don't know specifically, but I think in some cases they may contract for, say, road grading for part of it, and then they contract with somebody else for, say, the paving.
So if we just estimated, if we just put the period after $500,000, it would solve the problem with census of jobs.
Yes.
Notwithstanding, they would have to add that notwithstanding.
Then we put the other section there, the other sentence in,
What other sentence?
Starting notwithstanding. In other words, all you delete is of the Department of Transportation public facilities which are authorized under AS 3515 or AS 1910. That's the only thing you take away, right?
But if we're taking away that, how does the Commissioner of Transportation public facilities work into it? What it does? It doesn't go anyplace.
That's fine.
It would in those projects where DOPA position only state monies rather than using a mixture of state and federal.
And federal, match. I see. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, one further suggestion, and that is on the sentence beginning, notwithstanding the subsection, there are occasionally, though it's quite rare, situations where contracts executed through the Department of Administration involve a mix of federal and state funds. And you might want to consider the same type of authority for the commissioner to waive the bidder's preference in those circumstances as well.
In other words, the Commissioner of Transportation Public Facilities and the Commissioner of Administration.
And
the Commissioner of Administration.
That's Commissioner of Administration.
We can do that.
So we'll read the
allowed to do less than bid, not apply to contracts estimated to exceed $500,000, period. Notwithstanding the subsection, Alaska bidder preference may be waived by the Commissioner of Transportation, Public Facilities, and Commissioner of Administration in cases of, etc.
Move it.
It's unanimous consent.
Mr. President.
Sounds so good.
I like that. Sounds good. But it's been, amendment number two has been moved as read. Objections? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Senator.
Under the existing statute that I think we've rewritten in the First Amendment, there's a provision that says submit the bill for goods or services under the name of appearing on the person's current Alaska business license. Have we now restricted Alaska bidder to simply construction projects and taken out goods or services? Before I do that, you look like you wish to say something.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, if I may, I wish I knew more of the evolution of this bill. And unfortunately, I walked into this late last night, and it was not the attorney who was assisting Senator Ray. Just a brief comment. It's the provision that the committee has adopted, which relates to the certification under penalty of perjury that the bidder will employ Alaska residents in the performance of the contract unless resident laborers are unqualified or unavailable. Has the committee addressed that and moved forward at this point?
We adopted it in amendment number two.
Raise some concerns, and I apologize for not quickly stepping forward. I didn't understand it was in front of the committee before.
Mr. Rubini, before you start with this now, Mr. Chairman, you have to understand that we have Mr. Baldwin down here now, and we don't want to get mixed up with the inner office BS con jobs between attorneys now.
I understand that.
Okay, now go ahead.
Rules.
Look, it's a difficult issue. And
that's the house here.
What this provision does, it brings in local hire attributes to a bidder preference statute, and it changes the type of legal analysis that a court would employ when it reviews the bill. Without this provision, where the state's contracting in a proprietary sense, where we're spending our money to provide services for the state, courts tend to assess it under the Commerce Clause or the Equal Protection Clause and a mixture of the two. Corporations are not protected under the Privileges and Immunities Clause, whereas people are. And subsection, this proposed provision relating to local hire provisions affects people. And I think it would change the court's analysis that, while I think it's a strong idea, we might have the cart in front of the horses here. My understanding is there's courts recently are starting to require a very tight factual nexus between an identified problem and then the legislature's solution to an unemployment problem, for example, local hire provisions. And as a result of that, I believe House Bill 294, if I'm not mistaken, proposes that a state undertake a study to identify with some particularity and specificity the unemployment problems within Alaska and then try to finally tune that into a local hire provision which would withstand judicial scrutiny. Not to say that this provision on its face is not a good idea, but I do think it needs that factual nexus, which isn't apparent on the face of the bill.
Would this, you said Mr. Baldwin was here with us before now.
That's correct. And
I think we should have him down here to give us his tool. He's been following Senator Kelly. Ray.
Mr. Chairman, with due respect to Mr. Rubini, I appreciate his interest in the bill. I don't know if he's taking into consideration that you are, as a state, you are providing an incentive for Alaskans to bid. If you don't want to hire Alaska residents, you don't have to be a bidder's preference. You don't have to take that under advisement. If you meet the requirements of this, you get a bonus. That's all. In other words, it's not mandatory that you do it, and there's where I think your argument falls down. As you're saying, it's mandatory. It isn't mandatory at all. If they want to come under the bidder's preference and get a 10% layoff, they do this if there's no federal money, and it's only state money that you're talking about. No federal mix, nothing else except exactly state money, and I think it's under state's rights, sovereignty of the state. If we want to give somebody a gift, if they meet certain requirements, then I think we can do it.
Senator Fisher.
Mr. Chairman, following up on that, we do have a little preamble. It may not be quite as broad as what 294 would do, but it does refer to the problems in Alaska. And secondly, would any harm be done directly by adopting this, even if it couldn't stand scrutiny of the U.S. Supreme Court?
But not put a severability clause.
But we have I thought severability applies to all statutes.
No.
As you know, there is a statute which generally provides for severability, though the courts tend to balance and view the act as a whole. If the committee's pleasure, I don't think it's a good suggestion to enact a specific severability provision here.
Yeah. Okay. And then it doesn't matter.
That's correct.
The hire don't go, everything else.
And I want to make clear, I'm certainly not here telling you that this provision is quote-unquote unconstitutional. I think it's a good idea. It requires a strong factual background. The provisions in the act are good. I think the court might well require more.
Well, I'd be more willing to allow it to come to court, because I don't think a case like this is ever going to come to court to begin with.
I would put a severability clause in there so that they'll know.
Where do you want that to go?
It just goes in as a new section. A new section.
F.
5-6.
Six.
Yes, sir.
And the severability clause is located here in the last section of the bill.
At the end of the song.
Okay. Any objections?
Hearing none, it's worth.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for your assistance.
You might have another problem.
And, section 7, we've raised the amount of $5,000 to $50,000. That buys down their construction plan. But when we're talking about goods and services,
there are other referrals from the paying
this statute that goes for $5,000. I would think that goods and services should have a lower threshold of the construction plan. In other words, the two don't match right now, and I don't think we should match, but somehow we have to. So, the other reference to $5,000 in the statute only applies to when you have to bid. It doesn't apply to the application of bidder's preference. It says that above $5,000, we have to send out bids to the public. It doesn't apply to preference. So it's just a, you know.
Okay.
So this $15,000 is my only way to test this food, right?
Right.
That's just competitive business.
That is competitive business.
Right.
All that we can use in a more informal or negotiated purchasing process.
Well, then if we take them in for goods and services that are under $500,000, under $500,000, we'll find these goods that are over $500,000 to
go. Right.
That's the goods and services. That's the trade-off that we're asking for.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do you have questions for the attorney? Thank you very much for your time. Pleasure with the committee.
Move it on. We're going to just recommend.
Well, did anyone else wish to testify? Okay, it's been moved. You moved this out under individual recommendations. Objections? Bring none. Order. Sorry, the vote's got 26 minutes.
No, I mean, this is going at least 10:30 because now we have nothing else to do but read my mail.
Is there anything further you have to make?
Pleasure.
Thanks very much. Hearing none. We're adjourned.
Want us to sign in?
We will. Right now.
But keep your work.
I feel much better about it now than I did before.
I want to do it.
And once you get it all together, you can tell on the ones he signs to cash, you can tell how sporty he is.